Good afternoon. Today is, there it is. Today is Tuesday, September the 17th, 261st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Arcata City Manager, Mr. Mendoza.
Hello, Brian.
Say that again.
Like Ed McMahon or like...
Just like you tried.
Hello, Brian.
Boy, that almost sounds... I've got a buddy in Wisconsin.
Really?
Who you almost sounded like. Grew up in Wisconsin, had the whole, you know...
Well, do you still like him or not?
Yeah.
Well, if he...
Yeah, but...
And I guess that's a compliment.
There was just... Huh? It triggered something way back in the subconscious.
Actually, I like the Packers quite a lot, actually.
Yeah, so does Roger. But I won't subject you to how to try to spell his last name.
Well, people misspell my name most of the time anyway as well, so.
R-A-N-D-Y.
True, but that's a nickname, actually.
A-L-L.
Wrong.
You're not a Randall?
I am, but with one L.
Oh.
My mother kicked the L out of me. Can you say that on the radio? I guess I just did.
Well, she's probably listening. So you get the phone call tonight. What do you want to talk about here, Turkey?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that
I'm middle here, of September. I mean, things, projects got to be wrapping up here pretty quick for you.
We're paving Valley West. I mean, that's a big thing that people are very excited about.
You're going to give me carte blanche again, aren't you?
Well, you know, I...
He'll learn. He'll learn eventually.
You're better at this news stuff than I am. You got to
news.
Mine. You have to mine the information out of us. There's information in this brain that I don't even know that's there that you'll find.
I sense that the partnership is about to disappear. The attack mode. When we come back,
got to pay for this commercial.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of The Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:14. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza. But before we do, our quote of the day. Let's see if we can find... No, that's a proverb. That's not a quote. That doesn't work. Here we go. Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, I like Rodney Dangerfield. Okay. You got to tighten up your tie, though, while you're...
No, and I'm not going to look bug-eyed either. I just don't.
Take a drink.
Quote, if it weren't for pickpockets, are you a Dangerfield fan?
I've enjoyed
it. Okay, then you should be able to fill in the second half of this quote. If it weren't for pickpockets.
I can't think of what it
is. You got pretty close. It starts with I. I'd have no sex life at all.
Oh, well, I didn't think you could say that on radio. So there's, there's another word you can say on the radio that I didn't know. So you're the professional. I have to follow your...
Yeah, follow my lead right over the edge.
Right over the edge.
Well, you did mention the paving project in Valley West. When you guys look at your districts, and I'll call them districts, how do you determine which one needs more attention than the other?
Well, there is some science behind it. They call it the pavement management plan, and they look at the take into a lot of considerations as to the traffic flow and safety issues, potholes, just maintenance, what it costs to maintain it, and also we try to fix streets before they get so far wasted that you gotta get down to the base level. So
is that the alligator stuff? Is that too far gone? Right on the ragged edge?
That's why you see the oil little spider lines all over the it seals the roadway. Once water gets underneath, it lifts up the pavement. So it's actually cheaper if we can go through and seal it and pave it than to wait until it's too late, because then we have to go into the base level and really spend some major bucks instead of just a top coat. That's sort of the...
Valley West certainly needed it. I know Buttermilk is a different challenge for you because there is nothing under there.
Well, we have done Buttermilk.
The old trail.
We did a top coat a few years ago on Buttermilk. But then, part of the problem with Buttermilk is the speed. If you make it too pretty and too smooth, the speeds go up, and then
wait a minute.
The
this is a mecca of roundabouts.
Buttermilk?
No, Arcata.
No, yeah, but Buttermilk is a straight paved roadway.
Speed bumps do a fine job.
Yeah.
Of course, cops and firemen don't like speed bumps.
You've been doing your homework. Yes, for some reason the fire department does not like to slosh over speed bumps with 1,000 gallons of water in the back of their engine, and I don't know. I guess the water kind of sloshes a little bit.
You have
bit.
Sympathies in that direction still, don't you?
Yeah. But the cops may not mind it because they can kind of just fly and do that.
Instead of the streets of San Francisco and Carl Malden?
Yeah.
It's the streets of Arcata?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But Buttermilk is so straight, the speeds get up, and actually get a lot of neighbor complaints about speed out there. That's one of the prime speed complaint areas in the whole town.
I would imagine if you had sidewalks and had a defined street, because it is rather skinny, if you had it built out, and of course that would probably require some kind of condemnation to really get a legal street out there and then put sidewalks on it.
Well,
that might change the dynamic a little bit.
Probably enough room in the right-of-way, actually, in the public right-of-way to put in sidewalks, but boy, at prevailing wage, that's... You're talking.
Big,
I don't know how many
bucks.
Six digits at least. Multiple six digits.
Well, I get to that, but if the street was wide as it would be, and then there was parking there rather than where the parking is now, going 25 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour through a neighborhood shouldn't be causing too much disruption.
Yeah, but the median speed on Buttermilk is probably closer to 40, and that's what the neighbors, object to.
Living on Booner?
Rightfully so.
Get a grip, people.
Yeah, I bet
yeah.
It's the same.
Yeah, 40 is not overly fast.
And you see that's
posted at 35. At least it doesn't
that's a
seem
smooth
to be.
Road.
Prevailing speed.
Yeah, but when your pets and your children are out front, you don't want them. You wanted them going 25 and not 40.
It's 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza. Randy, some of the different challenges certainly with roads are dollars,
yes.
Which ones you choose. How do you determine if a roadway is, I'll say, viable, design-wise, functional-wise, if the community is responding to it? You know, I know there's some intrinsics in there also. But with Northtown, you got the bulb outs and the bulb ins and continue.
Well, those are called traffic calming measures.
Yeah, I've seen people not get calm about them.
Yeah.
In the last little bit. So how do you know that something like that is working? Because I look at it, and what I see is neighborhood. That's what I get out of it. You're trying to create, whether one exists or you're trying to create or manufacture one, a neighborhood by using those things. And you put something like that, whether it's on Buttermilk or on Wabash or any major thoroughfare in our area. Yeah, great, fine. Hope the tree leaves don't hit the road. And you're, I mean, it's not going to do anything other than a visual thing. Okay, but in Northtown, I sense that people are driving differently, and there is a neighborhood sense or feel because of maybe there's a tree in there. Now you've got some of the softening of the hardscape.
Yes.
Boy, where'd that come from?
Well, trees, the narrower that you can make a roadway, the slower cars go. So sometimes parking, if you can park cars on both sides of the street and it's safe and there's enough for trucks to pass, then that's a good thing. And one example to the other extreme is, for instance, Chester Avenue in Sunnybrae. Wow, that's wide. You could probably make that a full three. You know, there's a probably, you can make 3 40-foot lanes there probably. But that was made, what was that, in the late 60s? And, you know, there's a lot of room to choke that down a little bit to slow down the traffic. I don't, you know, but so that was a
different era.
What
about putting planters in the middle of the street instead of on the side of the street?
Well, we did that.
I don't mean a real planter. You guys have that with the trees.
Oh, like the like a center, yeah.
Center a median divide or something, and just put in some bushes or, you know, a couple of trees or something.
It looks great. It's the cost. You have to have irrigation systems to keep them water or the plants die. And we try to use native species here because they take less water, but still they die if you don't take care of them.
You're going to put a redwood tree in the middle of the road?
Probably not, because then it pushes up the pavement. And I know on 255, for instance, you know, on Samoa Boulevard, you know, we had that Samoa Boulevard gateway plan.
Nice weeds, by the way.
Well, yeah, we've had some challenges with Caltrans and what they what they will allow us to put there. We have
trees. Why don't you go down to the nursery, grab a couple of roses, stick them in, water them, and then let them come back to you and say, we need to put in something else.
No, it doesn't work that way. That's a state highway.
Now you got state weeds.
We have tree wells there, but the state standards prohibit. We had to do a traffic study there, and if the speed is not slow enough, then the state Caltrans rules do not allow trees. So we're going to have to put bushes instead of trees there.
Wait a minute, we got trees through Richardson's Grove. Last time I looked, Richardson's Grove was influenced by Caltrans.
Well, you're getting into a dangerous area there.
Logic?
Well, not really. I don't know. This is
some of this stuff kind of seems like, you know, goofy, and
it's not even the local Caltrans office. These are
Sacramento
landscape architects in other parts of the state that enforce these, and it's the requirement. You know.
So what would they do? Come in and pull them out?
Well, I don't know.
If they ever showed up to Arcata to investigate the plantings on the three-block stretch?
Well, I think if there was an accident, for instance, if there was a collision, then the city just could not even – the city couldn't take that on, because if there's a collision, then there would be
–
the city would be unduly liable.
How about pansies? They grow, what, about 6 inches tall?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think they would allow – but that's been the issue. That's why it's been delayed, is we wanted to put trees there, and Caltrans ultimately were – unable to allow that.
You know, it works in Willow Creek, though.
Yes, it did.
These examples are frustrating, aren't they?
You know, maybe you can get Charlie Fielder here to ask him.
Well,
he could probably tell you better than I
know.
Can.
You could go up to Willow Creek, steal their trees, stick them in, and say it's been approved in our county.
We have trees to put in there.
Oh, you got them in the backyard somewhere?
We have a supply of trees I bet we could put in there, but it'll look nice, but we were disappointed.
Do it on Arbor Day, then you get the PC bonus points out of that, too.
We were very disappointed, and our friends at Caltrans here locally know that we were disappointed, but, you know, we're just make the best of it.
Weeds.
It's their road.
Oh, but it's in your town. It's reflective of Arcata.
They maintain the million-dollar traffic light. In fact, on my way over here, they're out working on it, and that's not something that the city could pay for. So, you know.
Wait. Whoa. Million-dollar traffic light?
Well, I think it costs about $1 million for a traffic light to install.
I thought when Pearson put his in, it was $250,000.
Well, maybe it was.
This must be a fancy, fancy Arcata.
Well, we have two intersections there, so I'm guessing. I bet by the time you install and maintain, you know, if you have to replace those traffic lights, it'd probably be about $1 million.
What's wrong here? We can't put in things we have. We had to spend $1 million for a traffic light.
Well, we need the traffic lights. I think that's an important.
I think having something other than weeds growing in the town would be considered.
Yeah. Well, I think we're getting a resolution. It's we're getting close.
It's 3:30.
This is the final weekend to get a free iComfort box spring or $1,000 off any iSeries adjustable foundation at Vern's Furniture. Don't miss this super savings opportunity when you buy any iComfort or iSeries mattress at Vern's. Get a Serta Perfect Sleeper Queen mattress set for just $399 too. But the savings absolutely end after Sunday. Get to Vern's Furniture for the free iComfort box spring offer or the $1,000 discount on an adjustable foundation. Vern's Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza. Randy, the concept, I would think, of having to work in partnership with other governmental entities that, I guess, have dictate over what you do, whether it's a federal level, state level, regional. How do you work that through so that the entire organization doesn't lock up or get so frustrated they kind of walk away?
Wow, that's a loaded question. You do your best, and we often have successes, and sometimes we get frustrated and walk away. Depending upon, because, you know, government agencies are set in our bureaucracies, and, you know, we work for a bureaucracy, and you try to make as much sense out of it as you can, but it's a collaborative process, especially on the local level. You know, we're accountable to our constituents here, and we are duty-bound and to open up the process, to have it public and get everybody's opinion. The feds do that. Well, at the state level, it's a little bit less, and at the federal level, it's quite a bit less. You know, so they don't really have that degree of accountability to the people as we do at the local level. So,
but you work with them.
And, oh yeah,
and
we do.
Many of them live in the neighborhood, so to speak.
Yeah, they do, and we have good rapport with them. We don't always agree on things, but we often have things that we can't agree, and we do get help. We work well with most agencies, I would say.
So you play well in the sandbox?
Yeah,
by and large.
Yeah, I would think so.
I would never want to put you on the spot by asking who's the one that's most difficult to work with. So let's go the other way. Who's the easiest to work with?
Which level are you talking about?
Take your pick.
We have Senator Boxer's representative coming to meet with us this week, checking in. So I want to give Brandon Ida some kudos for checking in. So
is she in the neighborhood normally?
Senator Boxer's representative. No, they're not from here. I think they're from Sacramento, but they're making a round through to check in. So that's appreciative. Of course, our local guy Wesley Chesbro has been very good. And again, Wes and I don't always, you know, I can't agree with him on everything, such as redevelopment agency issues. But for the most
state
part,
budget.
He's done his best. You know, he's one vote out of many. but I think he's been very responsive.
Everybody can play that card, dude.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm only one vote.
But that's part of being in a legislature. You know, when you're in the legislative side instead of the executive branch, that's what you get. So you have to collaborate in order, or you get nothing.
Do you have opportunities, even if they ignore you, to give opinion?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're very open for that. I've never had a problem inserting opinions. They're always there.
But feeling as if there's somebody at the other end paying attention?
Yeah, I feel, for the most part, you know, I think that I think Senator Feinstein's been very good also with our region. Of course, Mike Thompson was outstanding. I haven't had much interaction with Congressman Huffman yet, but I hear good things about him. So for the most part, I think we have very good rapport with those folks.
Okay. You noticed you didn't even feel the hook being planted, did you?
Well.
I mean, you were just la-la-la the whole time.
Okay. Yeah, just.
Okay.
Yeah.
What opinions do you have about the Caltrans recommendation and now, with some caveats, the safety quarter determination?
I need, before I can answer that question, I need to see it, because I have only heard rumor and word of mouth on that. So I need to see that, because that is a fluid issue right now. You know, I think that what I'm hearing, a brief staff report that I got from our staff is that perhaps the Coastal Commission conditions are going to outprice it, you know, but that was an initial staff concern from our staff.
What about the thought of putting in stoplights on the highway?
Well, from my experience, that causes crashes. You know, I mean, I'm not an engineer, but I was, I did have a few years in law enforcement, and I've worked a few crashes. And, you know, when you have vehicles that are driving 50 miles an hour, 60 miles an hour, and then suddenly they hit a stoplight, you need a lot of flashing amber lights before that intersection to get people to slow down, or you're going to have people breaking a stop the intersection.
Even if there are no trees there?
Was that your hook?
No, that was just, that goes under the cheap comment category.
No trees. Yeah, I just drove up from the Bay Area this last weekend. I drove across Highway 37. There's a couple places on Highway 37 where, you know, you're zipping along at 55 miles an hour. That's the speed limit, but you're probably going, the median speed is at 60 or 65, and suddenly screech, you know, right there. You know, there's a stoplight, and I don't know what their crashes are, but it's not, to me, it just doesn't flow well.
KINS, News and Information, Times 342. We'll be back with more from Randy Mendoza.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m., Confessions. 5 p.m., Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m., Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30, Morning Mass, and 12:30, Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information, Times 345. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Arcata City Manager Randy Mendoza. Randy, when personal philosophy runs smack into bureaucratic attitude, how do you work that one through? I would say maintain your overall youthful look, but I can't really, I can't include that one.
Well, if I understand your question, it is, if I disagree with my employer on something, how do I handle that? Is that your question?
Or the city's got a great idea, and then somebody up the food chain says, I don't think so. And you demonstrate that it is, and there's public support that it is, and somebody up says, no, I don't think so.
Well, from my level, it's a really easy thing, because this is how I look at it, is that we are a corporation, and the stockholders are the citizens that live within the municipality. The board of directors is the council, and they're the owners. And just like you own this company, you know, you make your decisions, and you take in input from your staff. And
so if your board and your shareholders say yes,
yeah, you
and
do.
You say yes, and you go to implement, and they say no. I'm not thinking of the trees now. I'm thinking of just regular, normal, seems logical projects. And somebody up, a bigger entity, says no. Sure.
Well, you do your best to educate them. You do your best to give them the benefit of your research. And but you know, as the CEO of my organization, I have to make a decision sometimes with my staff, and I have to say, you know what, I appreciate what you said. I got to make a decision, and I'm no different. My bosses sometimes say we don't agree with you. We're going to make a decision. And
thank you for your input. Here's where we're going.
And that's the way it works. We all are answered to someone, unless you own your own business. And then you probably still have to answer to your dad.
Oh, I'm thinking more the bank, frankly.
The bank, yeah. So we all have to answer to somebody. Yeah, and you just do your best. You win some and you lose some. And I think the challenge is you don't take it personally, you know, because you just do your best. And
speaking of doing your best, you guys have got the grow house ordinance in play. It's been a year. Have the monies been released yet?
No, we're still waiting for PG&E to start billing, and they're supposed to start billing this October.
So in a couple of weeks? Month.
Yeah, any time. We expect PG&E to start sending out the bills, and the money will start pouring in, although our police department's been very effective in
shutting down some
major problem grows. So
yeah, I still don't understand. And Is it an invasion of privacy? Is that what they get at? Why they just won't tell you which addresses are using, let's say, over two times? I make it simple and easy, because, you know, you got big homes and small homes and energy efficient homes.
Yeah, we're looking at.
And you go knock on the door with the badges and say, hi, we're here for a safety inspection. It seems as if something might be wrong with your home.
Yeah, from the highest levels of PG&E, it's been explained to me that it's a matter of their employee safety. And also
you
confidentiality.
You said your employees, not their employees.
No, I thought you meant PG&E.
No, you said your badges and your guns.
Oh, they
and
do
your
that.
Fire
they
guys.
Do that sometimes.
Okay.
That's called a knock and talk.
Oh.
You know, so yeah, you can knock on the door.
So that's okay to do.
That's okay. You can say that we have a complaint that you're doing illegal things here. You know, can we take a look, or can we just tell you that we have a complaint, and then hopefully they'll have a big. You know, usually they say no, you can't, but sometimes they do. But if they say no, you can't come in, you can pretty much figure that they'll probably get rid of whatever was in there at some point, and that so sometimes takes care of problems.
Post a squad car out on the street and see what happens.
Well, you can't harass people, but
oh, why harass? That would in
car
would
car might not have
contact
air in the tires. You know, if you leave it out.
No. Keep the guy inside.
No, you don't do that.
Oh, geez.
That's a little. That might.
Simple solutions to simple problems, man.
They don't even do that on TV. So.
Well, yeah, it'd be really interesting TV, wouldn't it? And I'm still sitting here. KIN, thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Brian.
We've been Talking Shop with Randy Mendoza. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.